Yeah. Chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you're feeling in flare, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio Show. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV and the antimedia.org/radio. I'm really happy to be back. Finally made it back home. And you were listening to my last show on Wednesday. I talked a little bit about how I was, removed of my rights at a freeway checkpoint against my will. And I'm unfortunately having to report that on my way back from Arizona, where I was visiting my friend who was on our show on Wednesday, who actually, you know, coincidentally is a veteran of the Afghanistan war. Supposedly over there fighting for our freedom. On my way back to California, same thing happened. I was screwed again by the checkpoint. Once again, they used a canine unit to falsely identify me as a drug smuggler. And at that point, you know, basically when the canine says you got something, you lose all your Fourth Amendment protections that are supposedly there to keep you from being searched unreasonably. Well, it happened to me twice in a week. At this point, I mean, I don't know whether to think that they're going after me for my license plate because they have it marked. This is the third time in that car that this exact thing has happened to me, twice in the past week. The last time happened on my way up to Los Angeles. Because yeah, there's actually a checkpoint between San Diego and Los Angeles as well. Many people would say that these checkpoints are unconstitutional and illegal, and I'd definitely be in the field of people who would agree with that. It's just, you know, one of those things where you start to realize, damn, you know, it's pretty discouraging to want to travel or move around within the United States when they're literally harassing you at every turn. Again, I don't know if it was politically motivated or not. I know they have surveillance cameras several miles ahead of the checkpoints that actually scan license plates. And you know, these cameras are linked up to the DHS computer system, and they have like algorithmic machine learning that trying to pinpoint, you know, I don't know. I guess they use like algorithms to try to track license plates to see who's moving suspiciously. But, you know, when I got to the checkpoint, there was a lot of people ahead of me, and the guy with the canine unit literally walked right up to my car. He, like, bypassed, like, 10 other cars and walked right up to me and came up and was just like, all right, man, dog says you got something, so pull up there and get the hell out of your car. So it was just one of those things where you just feel really helpless, and it sucks. You know, and we had my friend on the radio show Wednesday who fought in Afghanistan, as I mentioned, and he wasn't very happy when he heard about what happened to me, because he thought that, you know, these guys that joined the military are told that they're going and fighting wars and stuff to protect us and keep us safe. And when this kind of thing happens to people that, are supposed to be being, you know, our freedom is supposed to be being upheld by these wars. It really makes people like that wonder, like, what the hell was I doing over there? If they told us we were fighting for freedom, and then my friend can't even come visit me across state lines without being harassed. You know, people start to really question those, that rhetoric, that freedom promoting rhetoric about our foreign policy and our wars all around the world. Anyway, that being said, personal stuff out of the way. Got a lot of news to cover tonight, some really shocking stuff. We're also going to have a guest on the program later to talk about a new project. Several things going on. First, let me introduce my longtime co-host, DB Schwartz. What's up, DB?
Hey, man, not a lot, dude. Just watching these horrible shenanigans going on. And, you know, we've been talking for years about how corporate media is bullshit, but tonight they've basically morphed into pure propaganda.
Literally and figuratively, and we're going to talk about that some more with one of our other journalists, because, yeah, this is crazy. This is – I think you're talking about the AP's decision to go ahead and crown Hillary Clinton the winner of the Democratic primary, right?
Exactly. But the thing is, I mean, all you have to do is the math, and you know she doesn't have the delegates, and there's still going to be a contested convention unless a bunch of people just don't show up tomorrow or they are involved in massive voting machine fraud again. But I think that people that are kind of establishment ingrained in the DNC don't understand that their party is dead. Nobody young is going to vote for anyone in the Democratic Party ever again after this election.
I think you're right. The Democratic Party is in for a rude awakening coming up this election. And I don't know. I mean, it looks like they've for a long time been trying to put Hillary Clinton in the to run against the Republican. And I've always, you know, from the beginning of this campaign, we've been talking about how Clinton was like the candidate that was supposed to lose. And the Republicans were supposed to pick some kind of moderate dude like Rubio, or, you know, at least quote unquote moderate, you know, even though, because he comes off as a moderate, but in reality he's very extreme on foreign policy and other issues.
And and look at Jeb's budget. I mean, I think that was their pony.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Jeb could have been the guy. He had all the money from the huge financiers of the elections and stuff like that. You know, and once Jeb dropped out, all that money shifted over to Rubio. You know, they got plan A, plan B, plan C. Honestly, I think Hillary Clinton is like plan D. I don't think she was meant to be the person to win this election. But Trump, for all of his faults, is kind of a wild card here. And a report just came out not too long ago, and I've been hearing chatter of this for a while, that Bill Clinton spoke to Trump before the election started. I think it was back in May of last year, and kind of more or less encouraged him to run. And there's been plenty of conspiracy theories floating around that Trump is like some kind of Clinton plant and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how founded that is. Maybe that was initially what they thought they were going to do. But I don't know, man. Trump seems like he's got a huge ego, and that, you know, at this point now he's taking it more seriously. Doesn't make him any better. I mean, this whole rift.
He's better, but I mean, you're talking about devil diet.
Exactly. This whole rift going on right now with Trump and that the Mexican judge that's actually here in San Diego where I'm located is pretty bad. I mean, I get it. I mean, Trump is worried that he's tied in with La Raza, which he's not technically actually tied in with La Raza. He's tied in with a lawyer group called La Raza, which is a local San Diego group that represents Hispanics many times. But, you know, Trump is, I mean, I've kind of hesitated to call him an absolute racist in the past, but this last interview where he's basically saying this judge isn't qualified to preside over this case simply because he's Mexican, I mean, if that isn't racist, I really don't know what is. And I hate to be a person that just come out and say, oh, I disagree with you. You're racist. That's not the case. I've not done that with Trump, but in this case, I mean, he definitely is showing, very much racist rhetoric. But you know, again, it taps into the fears, and I just saw a couple of studies that came out just the last couple of days that really did some demographics research under to people that are supporting Trump, and a huge chunk of Trump's support is coming from white people that are uneasy about the race situation and changing demographics in the United States. I mean, it's not, you don't have to be a political expert to see that the demographics are shifting dramatically. I mean, I think as of last year, more babies were born to Hispanic parents than white parents. I mean, that just, you know, in a matter of a couple decades, the white people are no longer going to be the majority in the United States. And people that are really concerned about that situation are supporting Trump. Sorry, we had a little computer glitch there. Hopefully get everybody back online in a few seconds. I don't know what went on. I'm not sure where it cut out, but yeah, we had a computer issue. Anyway, like I was saying, a huge chunk of the demographics that are supporting Trump right now are people that are uneasy about the changing demographics in the United States, where it's the fact that minorities are soon going to become the majority, and people are kind of uneasy about that. Those are the people supporting Trump. So it's not a big surprise that when he says this stuff that kind of denigrates Mexicans and Muslims, and just recently he said he referred to a black guy in his audience as my African American. I mean, it makes a lot of sense that people that are thinking in this kind of racist leaning tendencies are supporting Trump. And that's a really dangerous path to go down. And it actually makes Hillary Clinton look like not so bad. And that's the thing that makes it, you know, these conspiracy theories about Trump being a Clinton plant. To me, I was always like, nah, that, you know, I don't believe all that crap. But it makes more sense as time goes on. I mean, Trump makes even the most radical warmonger like Hillary Clinton look like a moderate. I mean, it makes him, it makes her look not nearly as bad, even though she literally – you know, a Secret Service agent just came out with a book saying how she was like this crazy psychopath, violent person when she was the first lady. In fact, the Secret Service agent, whose book is coming out in a couple of weeks, even claimed that she gave Bill Clinton a black eye while he was in the White House. And just, you know, the lying, the email scandal, all the foreign policy blunders, the Benghazi thing, and all the crap that Hillary Clinton has done, it makes her look really not quite as bad with Trump out there making an ass out of himself. And so that's something to think about. I'm really not sure which direction to go with that. Hopefully we get DB back on. He just texted me that his computer crashed. I think his computer crashed and it brought down our radio stream. But I want to get back to this AP decision. And we have one of our team members, Claire Bernish, joining us on the line. What's up, Claire?
Not much. What's up?
Hanging in there, just kind of shell-shocked. I guess I shouldn't be, because who was it? Chris Matthews, I think, on MSNBC last week at some point. He already kind of telegraphed this point that the media was going to come out in concert and basically throw the election for Hillary Clinton, but he said it was going to happen tomorrow. So this is a very interesting timing for the AP to just kind of throw the election and say Hillary Clinton won. Now,
there's a reason, though. They did that because of Roger Clinton's DUI arrest.
Bam.
Yeah, great distraction, right?
Yeah.
And also because of the Secret Service book that's coming out from the Secret Service agent. These are some big-time claims that this guy is making. I mean, to say that Hillary gave Bill a black eye, literally a black eye, while he was in the White House, I mean, that's some pretty explosive claims. And you're right. It is good timing. First of all, for the distractionary timing of it, to distract from the Clinton DUI guy, which I think, well, he's Bill Clinton's brother or cousin or something like that.
It's his brother.
His brother. He got a DUI in California. And then
it's
the Secret Service.
That Clinton actually pardoned him for a cocaine charge and stuff back, like, right the day he was leaving office.
One of the quotes from his brother was, it was a full-time job to keep Bill supplied because he was that much of an addict.
Nothing surprises me at this point about Bill Clinton.
Well, look at him, dude. He looks like he's dying.
And then, so you got all that going on. And then also you got arguably California is the single largest state in the country. We've got the most population. We've got the strongest economy. We've got a lot of different things going for us here in California. And, you know, it's the night before people go out and vote tomorrow, which, you know, as of recently, Bernie Sanders has pulled up basically even. In one poll I saw, he was even above Hillary Clinton by 1 or 2 points. But the average of polls shows he's within like 2 points within the margin of error in almost all polls. And so the night before the big, huge primary in California, they throw it for Hillary Clinton. I mean, that's got to be part of the timing as well.
And don't forget about the FEMA Cascadian drill tomorrow.
Oh, is that starting tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so many things going on. So, you know, for those that don't know about the Associated Press, I mean, this is – I don't want to go too deep down the rabbit hole here, but just on the surface, the Associated Press is the single most influential newswire service in the United States, arguably in the world. And they are basically responsible for establishing a media narrative for the entire mainstream media. I mean, Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, Washington Post, New York Times, every single one of those outlets, every mainstream outlet takes their marching orders more or less from the Associated Press. So when they come out and they make this announcement today and they say, you know what, Hillary Clinton has this wrapped up. Well, every single news outlet tomorrow, or even they already started today, but tomorrow every single news outlet is going to be saying the same exact thing. Hillary Clinton has it wrapped up. Now, the thing that we need to understand is that that's not the case. I mean, all this stink has been made about the superdelegates, and Hillary Clinton has more superdelegates, and who are the superdelegates? Well, they're a bunch of lobbyists. They're this, they're that, they're elected officials, this, that, and the third. And everybody seems to be an expert on superdelegates nowadays. But nobody wants to, nobody wants to tell the truth about what's going on now. The Associated Press just called it for Hillary Clinton, even though the superdelegates have not even cast their votes yet. They don't cast their votes until the Democratic National Convention. So they're literally, the AP is counting the superdelegates, even though they have not casted a vote, as towards the total of delegates that Hillary Clinton needs to wrap up the nomination. This is the,
but that's, you know, that's been a complaint all the while, though. Like CNN and a bunch of the other major outlets as well have been always reporting the supposed superdelegate count along with polls. So it's been throwing the whole, you know, narrative the entire time.
Exactly. It's been tilting the narrative from the very beginning, you know, and this idea stems from the Associated Press as well. So I guess it's not that surprising that they're calling it for Clinton already, because they've been calling it or counting those delegates from the beginning, even though they shouldn't be.
They're not even like really counting them. They're just kind of throwing them in the poll numbers mix when they announce to the public who's winning and stuff. They kind of subtly stick them in there without saying, hey, we're including the supposed superdelegates. I mean, it's really twisted, and it's definitely like kind of trying to tilt the narrative.
Yeah, and it's been going on from day one. I mean, it was as if she already had the nomination wrapped up from the beginning. So, I mean, it just goes to show how bad the manipulation is in the United States, and it might get a lot worse pretty soon here, right, Claire? You have an article up on the Anti-Media today about how the people in Congress are literally trying to create a de facto Ministry of Truth for the United States now. And I mean, you know, propaganda was re-legalized, I think, it was in the NDAA like a year or two ago. And now they're making good on it. It seems, at least they're trying to, with a new bill that they're calling the, Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act of 2016, which in itself is a pretty Orwellian name for a bill that they're probably going to be using to spread pro-U.S. propaganda out there, whether true or not, doesn't really matter because, you know, their whole goal with this is to just combat anti-American media outlets or outlets that shed too much dark light on the U.S. empire and things that we're doing. Ostensibly, it's supposed to be for combating foreign news outlets and doing the dirty work overseas in places. But as anybody can, you know, kind of vouch for, everything that the U.S. does overseas tends to come home. So, you know, this is basically H.R. 5181, which is what it's officially called. It's basically a renewing Cold War propaganda for the United States that is probably going to be used and deployed here at home in one way or another. Claire, can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, I mean, it literally is designed to counter propaganda and what they call disinformation, you know, in lands basically that we disagree with their governments. I mean, that's what it comes down to. They're even talking about deploying, like, covert agents and stuff to kind of promote this pro-American propaganda crap. The guys is to try to, like, create security and stability in places where we're involved, but it's, you know, so much simpler than that. We bring everybody home and stop fighting everywhere and being aggressive, and that would resolve itself. But the scary thing about, like, having this propaganda campaign going on overseas and whatnot, the language in this, I mean, it's very, it's a very short bill, and the text is actually, it's kind of subtle, but it's very obvious they're leaving it open to have this exact propaganda campaign come home, too. And the thing that's kind of that struck me as odd is one of the senators who proposed this actually mentioned by name RT. And we all know RT, you know, is Russian propaganda, but at the same time, it does have some, you know, verifiably decent independent reporting on occasion. So it's kind of a telling sign in itself.
And it's not even a good parallel because RT is trying to be legitimate in their own way and tell the truth as they see it, whereas we're over there with the Voice of America, which is directly CIA-driven, and we're funding NGOs. So we're trying to basically destroy their country, whereas, you know, with us, they're playing a psych game with our population.
Exactly. Exactly. And, I mean, this is really it's really kind of scary because they do kind of mention I can't remember where it is exactly, but they kind of mentioned actually doing this at home. It's basically any group or media outlet or organization that disagrees with the touted American narrative of the day and the touted American enemy of the day, it could be a target of this propaganda campaign. And, you know, it doesn't tell you enough about what that might entail in the long run, but they're trying to seek friends to employ in this whole progress. And I don't know, it's just very Orwellian and kind of terrifying that they snuck this through. It hasn't passed yet. It's still being deliberated, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like how they back rebels in places they want to overthrow governments, right? They want to side with the moderates in the area that'll line up with our interests and stuff like that. Whoever will do the U.S.'s bidding, basically what I'm reading in this bill is whoever's willing, any media outlet willing to do our bidding overseas, they'll provide funding to them. And so, you know, it's kind of a similar thing of what we've been actually accused of by some asshole trolls online saying we're taking money from Assad and shit like that, or from Putin, which I guarantee you is not true. I mean, if it was, I wouldn't be sitting here operating off some computer system that shut down on us and whatever. I don't need to explain myself. They're literally doing what people like us have been accused of doing, which is backing foreign media outlets in order to advance some kind of U.S. Agenda overseas. And again, by default, this propaganda is going to come home because, as they mentioned, they're targeting online and social media influencers.
And on the ground, too. It's not just media. It's on the ground, too. Like, they're talking about actually kind of infiltrating neighborhoods, which is even more terrifying.
Yeah, so, you know, all this information that's going to be produced from this bill is going to be accessible to Americans and no doubt is going to be disseminated here. I mean, it may be created overseas, but it'll find its way back here, at least to begin with, and then sooner or later it'll probably be created here as well. You know, and as I mentioned, you know, propaganda has been legalized in the United States. It was banned for a while there, even though, you know, like people like the AP and stuff still carry out pro-American propaganda. I mean, go on Reuters and look at the crap that they post, and that's literally like neocon central, and they'll make anybody that doesn't align with NATO look like shit, and NATO can do no wrong. I mean, that's Reuters right there. I mean, so it's already being, you know, the pro-US propaganda, anybody that – everyone listening to this show tonight probably already knows that there's plenty of pro-U.S. propaganda out there as it is, but they want to kind of make it official. You know, they've got, you know, the U.S. has Voice of America, which is a news organization that's 100% funded by the government, and it's kind of out there to try to create a good opinion of U.S. foreign policy and stuff, and that's pretty much like the only official outlet that the United States government has, but this bill wants to amp that up a little bit more, I think. I mean, I don't know, dude. This is just more bad propaganda stuff that is going to come out. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the crap that they start cooking up over there, because they said they're going to try to bring truthful messaging. But you know, the government can't even tell us the truth about a bunch of stuff. So I don't know how they plan on. Go ahead.
It's only working on people that are watching traditional media, though. That's the thing that's kind of sad to me, is that the people that really rely on the government wholeheartedly, people on Social Security 65 and up, buying into this bullshit, and they're going to see their checks just keep going down and down and down.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, dude. Not good news. And the thing is, too, again, it goes back to the idea that we're funding this crap, dude. I mean, we're going to be paying the government to indoctrinate us with information that suits their narrative. I mean, you know, I want to know, if I'm going to pay taxes, dude, I want to know what the hell I'm paying. And I want to be able to choose what I'm paying into, you know, and they're going to be using this stuff to go and do stuff that I don't want them to do. So,
and it goes deeper than that, because it skews your worldview. I mean, I've traveled out of the country extensively. I can tell you that the people around the world absolutely hate, and I mean hate, our government, dude. I mean, everywhere I go, they say, God, it sucks to be you guys. And this is the third world I'm talking about. They're not coming up here. The only people coming up here are people that are in war-torn countries. That's it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, the government's making us look bad, dude. Like, we're getting a bad rap for the shit they're doing around the world, you know? And at what point do we start saying, you know what, dude, I'm tired of you guys dragging my name through the dirt, you know? Of being a U.S. citizen, having this crappy government out and conquering, you know, trying to conquer the world with their bad ideas. You know, at what point do we say enough is enough? Hopefully it's soon. I want to bring Manny into the conversation, because Manny's a longtime guest, an awesome activist on the ground. With Manny.
Hey, what's up, Nick, and stuff like that. Yeah, you guys were talking about basically how they want Hillary there. That's already wrapped up. I think that's a scam to keep people that are voting for Bernie there say we're not going to show up because it's already wrapped up. I don't think a lot of people are going to buy it. I don't think Bernie went to San Diego 4 times because he thinks he's lost it. You know what I mean? So just really, you know, stuff like that. But one of the stories we're focusing in on in San Diego, it's basically based on a very, very, very old law, gathered 57,000 signatures for, you know, this case, you know, and how they're tomorrow we're going to be at the Pasadena courthouse, because they're basically, you know, really, you know, shafting this, you know, Jasmine Richards, you know, an activist on the Black Lives Matter and all that, and basically sentencing her to 4 years in jail for lynching, you know. And lynching, as people will know, it's an old law that kept basically somebody that had been arrested that was black, kept, you know, from taking it away from the cops to lynch him, you know. But now she's trying to protect a comrade, and now she's going to be charged with lynching. I mean, what type of shit is this, you know what I mean?
Well, crazy. What are police, dude? Police were always just slave patrol, man. That's all they've ever been in this country.
Yeah, that's true, BB.
It's crazy, and there's some twisted definition of lynching. I mean, literally, she's accused of freeing somebody from police custody. Like, she helped get someone from being arrested, not arrested. And somehow she's being charged with lynching. I mean, it's some kind of twisted perversion of the language here. I just really don't understand that. Manny, we're going to have a guest on in a few minutes. First, I want to get your opinion on this whole Trump thing with the Mexican judge and what you think of that.
Well, it's basically kind of sad that he's trying to discredit a very high-level judge, number one, and a judge with a lot of integrity. You know, he's done a lot of good stuff out there, pro bono also. And so to try to discredit him just because he's Mexican, it's kind of really sad and stuff like that. You know, it's almost like, a violation of your integrity, you know, other than your rights, you know, stuff like that, you know. And it's like that case with you about Border Patrol targeting you, stuff like that, trying to discredit you, making you look like a drug dealer or some hoodlum or whatever, you know. But I was kind of imagining when you said that story again about you at the Border Patrol check, I said to myself, man, imagine if he was with Manny. You imagine that?
It would have probably gotten a lot worse. You know, and I'm sitting there at the checkpoint and I thought I was done after going into Arizona, and I got screwed once. I got exposed to x-rays. The assholes literally drove the x-ray truck while it was still on. There's like some little lights on the top letting you know the x-ray is on, not to like walk in front of it. They drove it right in front of all the people that were sitting there getting their rights violated by the Border Patrol. It was insane, dude. Like they exposed everybody there to x-ray radiation, not only us that were being searched, but also the other Border Patrol guys that were standing right there making sure we weren't doing anything. They were getting exposed to it too. I mean, these guys are going to be really sick later on after years and years of being exposed to that stuff. I feel really bad for them. I kind of feel bad for them. I mean, they're assholes for doing what they're doing, but still, man, you know, they're just human beings and they're trying to make a paycheck, and you know, maybe they're in the wrong field, but you know, I still.
Hey, people that work at Blackwater are just trying to make a paycheck too.
Yeah, you're right, man. They fall victim to this group mentality. I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, dude, if Trump gets elected, this is gonna get a lot worse. Like, they're gonna have checkpoints all over the place, making sure nobody's smuggling human beings around, and you know, who knows how this guy's drug policies are gonna be. But I mean, they're gonna have checkpoints everywhere. And the excuse, you know, these are border checks. Their main excuse here is that they're looking for human beings that are being smuggled, and they're looking for drugs that are being smuggled. But that's just really an excuse to kind of pull people out of their cars. And many, many times, I mean, we've all seen the headlines about asset forfeiture and stuff like that. I mean, they're just taking people's money, dude. And just having money in your wallet could actually trigger the dog, because you know, a huge percentage of the currency in the United States, the paper currency, has like cocaine residue on it, because so many people do coke, and like literally that's enough to get the dog to trigger you. So no, everybody, I don't care how innocent you are, how innocent you look, anybody can be screwed with at these checkpoints by the canine units, you know, and that very well may be what was triggering it, or it may have been politically oriented. I have no clue, but whatever it was, man, it happened twice in a week, and it really pissed me off. And I was just worried that shit, you know, if Trump gets elected, I mean, this is going to get a lot worse.
Nick, you should have offered him some fruit from across state lines. That would have really pissed him off.
Oh, that's the other thing. On my way back from Arizona, I had to go through two checkpoints. The first checkpoint was inside of Arizona, where they were doing agricultural it was an agricultural checkpoint where they were checking for illegal bananas and apples and shit like that. And then checkpoint was looking for whatever they could look for to violate your rights. I mean, it was crazy.
Those apples and bananas sometimes have coke residue on them too. It's weird.
Just going to say, you know, when he asked you if you had any illegal fruits, you just should have told him you had a trunk full of bananas.
You know, all this talk about Bernie Sanders, man, and the AP just really, really laid an egg on him. And they really handed this thing over to Hillary Clinton. I can now, you know, with this AP decision, every media outlet's going to be covering this tomorrow morning. Hillary Clinton won, you know, no point in going out and voting. Hillary Clinton's got it wrapped up. I mean, Bernie Sanders is probably going to get, probably won't even win California, but you know, the thing is the thing that really trips me out is that, man, I went through the same thing that these Bernie people are going through right now. And I went through it back in 2012 when I used to support Ron Paul and stuff. And I remember getting my heart broken, and these guys are about to have their hearts broken tomorrow. But eventually I started realizing, like, shit, you know what? Maybe it wasn't maybe if Ron Paul would have been elected like I wanted, I would have been really disappointed. And maybe that isn't the solution. The solution may not be to elect some president to fix our problems. That being said, we have our editor, our senior editor from the Anti-Media, Carrie Wedler, on the line. And she just put a video out today about Bernie Sanders and why maybe putting our faith into this guy is not the best idea either. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Good evening. Thank you.
So this video that you put out earlier today, I mean, it's already picking up a lot of steam. I've noticed that it's seems like it's going viral pretty much. But tell us about the video. Why were you inspired to put it out there? And I know you were expecting a lot of backlash from it because, you know, Bernie Sanders has a lot of passionate supporters. And I think that, you know, honestly, I think a lot of his supporters are in have the right, you know, they understand that something isn't right. And that they want something Absolutely. To be fixed and stuff. But tell us a little bit about, you know, why you did it and what you're hoping to accomplish with this video.
Yeah, well, first I want to say that the reason I chose to make a video about Bernie Sanders and not Donald Trump, I've already made a video about Hillary Clinton. You guys can check it out on my YouTube channel. But the reason I wanted to make a video about Bernie Sanders is because I do think that of all the people who are still supporting presidential candidates, his supporters are probably the best bet to try to reason with. You know, like, I don't think I need to waste my time with Trump supporters. It's a waste of my energy. But unfortunately, I kind of started to realize that trying to reason with Bernie Sanders supporters was a waste of my energy. And it's been a few months, and I was someone who supported Barack Obama. And I think it's especially hard for me because of that to watch people blindly support a candidate. And you know, I understand feeling that he's the best option. I understand at the end of the day, to me, that's still a lesser evil, and lesser evils don't change the world. But I understand why people are caught up with him. I understand why they think he's principled. But at the end of the day, like, the experiences I've had with a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters have shown me that they didn't do their deep research. They didn't really check to see if the guy's principled. There was actually one article that's it's a favorite of Bernie Sanders supporters to share. It's well, here's how Bernie was actually justified in voting to fund war. And, you know, that's sort of where I first started looking into his record. And I realized that that is such an incomplete article, and it is missing so many of the war funding bills he voted for that it's just sad to see people gobbling up information that confirms their biases and not really looking deeper. And so I just wanted to demonstrate my experiences trying to reason with them, because in my video making, I get to a point where sometimes I'm just like, okay, I don't know what to do anymore. So I'm just going to show people what I experienced. And that's what this video was.
Well, I've written a pretty in-depth scathing piece on Bernie Sanders' foreign mm-hmm. policy. And to me, that's mm-hmm. one of my, that's the point. And anyone that's a regular listener to the show knows that, like, we talk about foreign mm-hmm. policy on this program every single show, mm-hmm. Because there's mm-hmm. always some new crap that the U.S. is getting into. There's always some new war. Mm-hmm. I mean, Obama has just dedicated troops to Yemen, which is another civil war very similar to Syria that is pretty much unwinnable. And the unpopular government has been overthrown. And now we're backing the Saudis and now we're putting troops in there. You know, so foreign policy is a huge issue for me, and that's one spot where Sanders has shown a huge lack of principle. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he loves to brag about his vote against the Iraq war, and I applaud him on that. That was a very unpopular stance mm-hmm. at the time, and I know his supporters love to talk about that as well. But on many other occasions, Bernie Sanders has not been principled on foreign policy, and I noticed that you talked about that in your video. Can you tell us a little bit about Bernie Sanders' inconsistency on foreign policy?
I would love to, absolutely. Well, the first thing I lead with is the F-35 program, which a lot of people are really familiar with. It's horrible. The planes are failures. They're still working out bugs, but it seems to be a bug in every single program, and Bernie Sanders lobbied for a piece of that contract. And he can say that it was for the jobs, but at the end of the day, his explanation was, well, you know, they're already built, you know, it's already a thing, so I might as well get some pork barrel from it. He didn't use the word pork barrel, but I'm sorry, that just doesn't scream revolution to me. That screams someone who's comfortable where he is, and he'll do what he has to do to keep his constituency happy. And some people think that that's excusable. It isn't for me, because I don't think on one hand you can go around campaigning on how sneaky the military-industrial complex is for building plants in cities that need jobs, and then lobby for a piece of the contract because you want jobs. You know, it's just, it's very disingenuous to me. And there are a lot of examples of this. One of the things that really upsets me, this is like, it really gets to me because I am technically Jewish by blood, and I've criticized Israel, I've spoken out about it, is Bernie Sanders made a lot of waves when he was criticizing Protective Edge, which was Israel's assault on Gaza in 2014 over the summer. And people were saying that it's revolutionary. Oh my God, he's talking about how Israel treats Palestinians. And yeah, that's important. But in September, in the middle of September, which is barely weeks after the assault ended, he voted for a strategic alliance act with Israel, which included strengthening military ties. So for me, it's just like, yeah, he said some really pretty things, but that's not enough for me. And it shouldn't be enough for Americans who, after decades and decades and decades of voting for lesser evils and just taking what they're spoon-fed, it just doesn't sit right with me. And at the end of the day, people are being spoon-fed Bernie Sanders propaganda. And I know that a lot of people are going to recoil at me saying that, but as I said of that article that attempted to debunk people who say Bernie Sanders voted for war, it was incomplete. It was, I don't want to say intellectually dishonest, because I'm sure the author was just looking for instances to support his support of Bernie Sanders. But, you know, one of the things that really gets me, and then I'll stop talking, is that, you know, people always say, well, he voted for that war funding bill because there was this domestic benefit, or he voted for that funding bill because there was this hurricane relief. And I have two things to say about that. One of those is he voted for H.R. 5010. I can't remember exactly which year. It was in the 2000s. And that's one of those bills where you can say, well, yeah, but there were veterans construction jobs. Okay, and that's $3.4 million in exchange for literally hundreds of billions of dollars for defense spending. So that's, again, it's just not legitimate to me. And Dennis Kucinich spoke out on a bill, I believe it was House Bill 2361. It could be 2631. You can check my video to get the exact detail. But Dennis Kucinich said, no, I'm not voting for this bill. It provides $70 billion in war funding for Iraq. This is during the Iraq War, when it was still really active during the Bush years. It's a terrible bill. I'm not going to vote for it. This is a famously principled leftist progressive. Bernie Sanders voted for it, no problem. So I just, like, people think they're, like, getting me when they tell me that he voted for war because there were domestic benefits, but I'm sorry, that just doesn't scream change and really getting out of the infrastructure and system we're in.
And, you know, in many ways it reminds me of Obama's 2008 campaign, and I know, mm-hmm. Kerry, you've admitted as much that you were swept up in it. I know DB reluctantly admits that he was swept up in it. I mean, several of the people on the call tonight were swept up in, mm-hmm. the Obama 2008, mm-hmm. campaign. And Obama had very, very similar rhetoric about taking on Wall Street and, mm-hmm. ending the wars and stuff. And, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, Bush may have engineered the bailouts, but Obama presided over them once he got elected, and mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. he dragged his feet on ending the Iraq war. He still hasn't ended the Afghani war. That's now become the longest war in U.S. history. Obama has re-entered us into Iraq now, and he's, mm-hmm. entered us into, I think, like 8 different new interventions in the Middle East and, mm-hmm. in North Africa and stuff. So mm-hmm. it's you know, people get so mad when you criticize their candidate, but come on. I mean, we've been through this plenty of times before. Obama ran on almost an identical platform, and he mm-hmm. went back on pretty much every promise that he made, you know, and it's so easy for, mm-hmm. politicians to make promises, and then it's also easy for them to blame the other party, just like Obama does constantly. He always says it's, well, the Republicans are the ones obstructing the stuff I'm doing. It's the Republicans doing this, Republicans. Well, dude, a lot of the stuff he could have ended on his own, like Iraq, Afghanistan. Obama could have done that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, now he's like pushing Congress to give him an authorization for war, which would allow, mm-hmm. him to literally bomb any country in the world that ISIS says that they're at. I mean, Obama's pushing for that. He wants that. He wants Congress to give him more authority on war.
If I may, I will say that I didn't want to draw too many comparisons of Obama to Sanders, because I do acknowledge that Sanders wasn't – he didn't get money from Goldman Sachs. Like, he doesn't get money from Raytheon. Obama's numbers were on paper. I could have found them on the internet if I had. But at the end of the day, like – for me, it kind of makes it worse for me that Bernie Sanders, he's not even getting paid off to vote for Warren. He's voting for it. Oh my God. Like, dude, at least get paid if you're going to compromise your principles. What? Like, I'd rather he get paid. It hurts my heart that someone who says he's anti-war and doesn't take money from special interests is still voting to send people to go die and for children and innocent civilians to die in American wars. And that's what really gets me. But I'll give him credit that he doesn't take the money, you know, and I have no problem admitting that.
I think at this point we realize that when you go against the military-industrial complex, you get a bullet right in your head, and we have to be realistic. Come on now, we have to be real.
Strange is alive.
We have to be realistic.
Come on now, they're both alive. They never had principled in their opposition.
Of course they were, but they never had the momentum going, and they were never a real threat. I'm sorry,
but because they were actually against the military-industrial complex. If Bernie actually were, he would not be on national news every single night. I'm sorry to tell you, but if the media is as manipulative as we all know it is, then no one would know Bernie Sanders' name if he were truly anti-establishment.
Yeah,
that's
And I have nothing to go against what you're saying. Only this: we're gonna have a president. If we have the wrong one, if we have one of the two front runners, we're gonna have a war. And we're probably not going to be talking a year from now. You know what I mean? That to me is the reality.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Kerry's onto something here. I think if you know, there's a couple things that is really taboo in American politics, and if you do any of these two things, you will literally be ignored by the media, and which will render you pretty much useless. Just like, you know, same exact thing happened to Ron Paul, same exact thing happened to Dennis Kucinich. And with Bernie Sanders, you don't know for sure if it's, you know, if it's like, hey dude, we'll give you media coverage as long as you don't talk about the Federal Reserve and the foreign policy, or we won't give you media coverage.
Well, I'm sorry, but based on his record, I have absolutely zero reason to believe that if some defense contractor comes and says, hey, Bernie, we want that. Well, not that they would come to Bernie, but, you know, through the Department of Defense, Bernie would sign off on a bill that allegedly claimed to create jobs for Americans, even if it were military, because his record shows he will. So I just think it's silly to pretend that, oh, it can't be Hillary or Trump because Bernie is, you know, at least he's not as big of a warmonger. And yeah, I'll give you that. But he's not in, he doesn't run the government. The Department of Defense operates on its own. The deep state operates on its own. So it's silly to pretend that someone who's tepidly kind of opposed to the military-industrial complex is any better than somebody else, in my opinion, if we're really looking to make a change.
So, Kerry, this is one of the main points. I know you got to get going, but one of the main points that people always have a counterpoint to anyone that talks crap about their or says their candidate isn't what they think it is first they say, okay, well, obviously you support Trump, which obviously I know is not obviously I know that's not the case with you. But the other point is that people always say, well, then what's your answer? What's the, who do you support then? Like who do we need to pick? I mean, how do you reply to that?
Well, my answer is in the conclusion of my video. So if you go watch it, you can check it out. But my answer is that we need to stop believing that government's going to come and fix it for us. Because for me, like, what's so frustrating is clearly people aren't interested in politics. And guess what? I don't blame them. No one wants to be involved with this soul-sucking bullshit. But it's like, at the end of the day, if you want to tout your democracy and you want to say that you live in a democracy and you think it's your right to impose your will on others by voting and calling it freedom or whatever you want to call it, like, you need to pay attention. You don't have the luxury of just electing someone you think is going to be good and then going back to your life. And so for me, sorry, democracy is just not sustainable. And I think what we're all doing in our activism is finding ways to be independent of the system and independent of the matrix. And personally, I think we're all doing a really good job of it. And I just want to say, as on that Donald Trump note of like people assuming that I'm a Donald Trump supporter, to come full circle, the reason I made this video really is that I found myself self-centering, and I'm not one to self-censor. Like, I will speak out against anybody. I will speak out against Islamophobes, Zionists. Like, I don't care. I am not intimidated, but the degree of aggression and like baseless assumptions that were hurled my way for criticizing Bernie Sanders, like, really sent me into like a dark place for a while. Like, I was called a Hillary show, a Clinton troll, anti-media was called COINTELPRO. Like, that kind of hysteria really got to me to the point where I was like, oh my God, I'm scared to even say anything because I'm going to have fanatics like chasing me on the internet. And I just got to the point where I was like, well, if that's how I feel, then I have to make the video because I can't censor myself.
Exactly. It's kind of like how when we criticize U.S. foreign policy, people assume that we're funded by
Russia or something like that. It's
crazy. Yeah, they know.
It's crazy.
Sure,
I mean,
you know.
People. One of the big problems I think in the country is that people have like just a two-dimensional way of thinking about things, and it's like, mm-hmm. Well, if you don't like Democrats, well, obviously you're a Republican, and if you don't like Republicans, then obviously you're a Hillary supporter. Thinking is just the country mm-hmm. has been so polarized into this two-way road or whatever you want to call it. It's done intentionally to keep the country equally divided, you know, one camp against the other. Meanwhile, while these guys fight over whether it's Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, everyone's fighting over it, and you know, it's a huge battle and everybody's caught up in it. And think about all the resources, not only financial, but just human resources that are being basically, you know, wasted on these campaigns. All of that human
and
capital
all the
could be used.
Energy, geez.
Yeah. All of that human capital could be used to further some kind of cause that actually helps out communities or creates something useful for people. Instead, it's going to be used in the case of Obama. I mean, think of all that activist grassroots support that he had in 2008. And then he gets elected and everyone goes back to the couch and sits back and just lets him do what he's going to do. And literally all
that's
that energy is just wasted.
And that's how the system wants it. They want people to be riled up about a candidate that they present to them. You know, they want people to think that that's the option. And, you know, this year has really been interesting. Like, it's been so unpredictable. We all thought we knew what was going to happen last summer. And I, you know, like, don't get me, I give credit where credit is due. Like, hats off to Bernie Sanders for shaking it up and for giving Hillary Clinton a run for her money. And as I say in the video, like, regardless of what I think of Bernie Sanders supporters, regardless of what I think of Bernie Sanders, I appreciate the sentiment of his supporters. And I don't discount the fact that the establishment is terrified of them way more than they are of Bernie Sanders as an individual. And that's, I think, the heart of the issue. And that's why I really wanted to try to level with him.
Awesome, Carrie.
That's why I think it's better he loses anyway, because now the movement, whatever momentum is behind this crazy zeitgeist behind him, can now realize that the system is rigged. So it's better that he doesn't get in the White House and have all that mm-hmm. momentum wasted on what would be the military industrial complex, which is I you've pretty much convinced me on this one.
Carrie, you got to get going.
I do have to get going, but thank you so much for having me on and for, you know, I've been really pleasantly surprised that people have not been as mean to me about the video as they were about general criticisms of Bernie Sanders. So thanks for all being civil. It's been really fun. It's always a pleasure with you guys. So thank you.
All right, Carrie,
so much.
Peace.
Have a great night. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
So, Jake, on that note, man, we're actually putting out your article tomorrow about what you just said is why it's actually better for Sanders to lose. And I just, it's so reminiscent to me of the 2008 Obama campaign, where he had all these awesome people that are like, yeah, we're going to end the wars, we're going to go take on Wall Street, we're going to do all this great stuff. And then Obama gets elected and it's like, poof, like all the opposition to Iraq war gone, all the opposition to our foreign policy gone, all the anti-war Democrats gone, all the other useful energy that was out there that was like surging behind Obama trying to create a better world and stuff, it all dissipated at the moment he was elected. You know, and this is the exact same thing and why I think your argument about how Bernie Sanders losing is actually better for his movement makes sense. I mean, tell us a little more about your theory.
Yeah, well, quickly, Obama did keep one promise. He has kept he's keeping men out of women's restrooms, and that's an important issue. Now, I had a vision, a spiritual vision of, now, I realized that if Bernie got in office, I can see how he would transform very quickly, and I think it would happen, within the first couple of days. In the article I think you're referring to, I describe how kind of a facetious scenario of how, like, on the day of his inauguration, Obama, you know, was about to go to bed, and like this weird group of men in black come in and tell him, you know, you've got a sandbox to play in, here are your tools, but don't go outside the sandbox. And that's, you know, that's just kind of the nature of the beast, what DB was saying, which is that, you know, if you want to stay alive, as president. There's just certain things you can't do. And so Bernie Sanders, I guess, just to kind of summarize my point, I think he's just better as a symbol. I think he's better as a symbol of rebellion. And I think he's going to be more useful to ongoing on people getting involved in the system, in deconstructing the system in between elections, not just every 4 years and not even just in midterm elections, but getting involved on a local level, that all that energy has to focus on actual change in terms of building communities and deconstructing how corporations run things. But that's where the real work is. That's where not just, you know, sudden every 4 years picking the lesser of the lesser evils who claims to be against war and maybe doesn't take, you know, money from corporations. At the end of the day, all these people have to get involved on a local level and you know, community building and connecting these disparate movements. And if that doesn't happen, it's all for naught. So I think Bernie's better as a symbol.
Exactly, man. And, you know, we all know what happens. I mean, everybody, every time we post an article about somebody inventing something awesome or some politician standing up against the man and stuff, I mean, the first comment is always like, well, that guy's dead in a few weeks. I mean, everybody knows that kind of shit actually happens. I mean, it's not really a conspiracy theory. People that are going to disrupt industries or disrupt governments or disrupt the status quo, I mean, they get dealt with, whether it's the way of Obama, where it's like, hey, dude, you know, here's how it is. Here's how it's going to be. You can, like, do these certain things and you can't do these certain things. Because, I mean, I think we could all kind of guess that that's pretty much what happened to Obama. Everything that he said he was going to do, he just went back on pretty much. I mean, he hasn't even closed Gitmo yet. I mean, yeah, he won't even do it by the time he's out of his presidency.
He didn't do he barely did a single thing he said he was going to do.
Yeah. I mean, he said he was going to label GMOs. He literally signed the Monsanto Protection Act. I mean, he said he was going to end all these wars. I mean, none of it happened. You know, and for everybody to forget all of that stuff and say, oh, well, Bernie's going to come in, he's going to fix all that stuff. It's like, first of all, you're ignoring the fact that the Congress is going to be against him. You're ignoring the fact that, you know, he's going to have a playbook that he's allowed to play by and a playbook he's not allowed to play by. You're ignoring the fact that ultimately, if he doesn't follow those rules, there's other consequences. I mean, there's just so many layers of security for the deep state, so we like to call it. Bernie wouldn't do anything becoming president. He'd be much more effective outside of the system. And I mean, come on, dude, do systems reform themselves? I mean, to say that someone's going to come in and fix the system, that's an extreme long shot and most likely is not going to happen. I mean, I think, Jake, you said it, man. Working at the local level to deconstruct the oligarchy is literally like our only option at this point. And so hopefully the people that are out there supporting candidates and they're like real passionate, they know something's wrong, they know something needs to be fixed, hopefully they can take matters into their own hands. And I think really the greatest democracy in the world is the democracy of one. It's the only person that should be deciding what you do. It's you, you know. And people, I think if we're gonna come to terms with this really mature idea of democracy, I mean, it's been around for a couple thousand years now, and it's pretty much been bad situation after bad situation when it comes to democracies, or, you know, democratic republics or whatever you want to call them, constitutional republics. They've all kind of had failures, whether huge failures or minor failures or whatever. We need to start coming around to this idea that we don't need to be putting other people in charge of our lives and in charge of our resources, man. That's how all these wars happen. It's because we give other people the authority to take our money and to do with it what they please, man. And I think we need to come around to this idea where we don't need that stuff anymore. We have this technology. We have the information available at our hands. We have the ability to work voluntarily locally with people that we agree with to come up with a new idea, a new way of governing ourselves that doesn't involve warmongers, doesn't involve military-industrial complex, doesn't involve psychopaths like Donald Trump. It doesn't involve oligarchy and the deep state and all these assholes that are robbing us blind, the Federal Reserve and all these other guys. I mean, it's time for some new ideas, man. And I hope all the Bernie people, like, once this thing plays out and he gets the short end of the stick, which has already happened tonight, it's going to be happening tomorrow morning again. Hopefully they wake up to some of these ideas and then we could really start enacting some real change. Thank you all for tuning in. The Anti-Media Radio, that's the end of the show. We're going to be back with you Wednesday, Monday through Friday here on UCY.TV. Peace out, everybody.
Buenas noches, everybody. I'ma let 'em know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.